This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. We're going to discuss the question I was just going over in detail a little bit. Do the elites consider themselves, the elite communist scum, do they consider themselves to be the good guys? We're going to get into that in a little bit more depth. Are they going to send Trump to prison on September 18th? Another Secret Service fiasco. There's a lot we have to get to this hour and both hours, actually, on the Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I want to dig into this. I'm not going to read the whole question again. But as I've been saying, the communists, part of the reason the communists have murdered so many people, part of the reason they do so many evil things, is they have convinced themselves they are the good guys. They are the only good guys. You are the bad guy. And what can't a good guy do to a bad guy in pursuit of what is good? It's why they wanted to take your kids away from you if they weren't vaccinated. It's why they don't think. Is your liberal Aunt Peggy, is she upset that they're trying to throw Donald Trump, their political opponent, in prison? Is she upset at all? She's not even a little upset, is she? And if you talk to her about that, maybe it's a coworker or an aunt or a mom or whoever it is. If you talk to them about that, from the outside looking in, they're trying to lock their political opponent in jail so he can't win an election. And I don't just mean one or two Democrats. They're trying to lock him in prison so he can't win an election. And your liberal Aunt Peggy thinks it's completely justified. Completely justified. She is certain that she is the good guy in that situation. She is the good guy. Trump is so bad, of course you should throw him in prison so he can't win. She's sure of it. Let's set her aside, though, and we're going to go back to talking about the elites. And I was talking about how they see themselves as kings and queens. I want to explain it this way. Let's do a little Alexander the Great comparison or talk, shall we? So Alexander the Great, his father was Philip II. This is Macedonia, the Greece. Just think ancient Greece. Philip II was a conqueror, an incredible military man.
He essentially unifies Greece by conquest, and then he gets assassinated. That's kind of how things went in Macedonia at the time. One of his bodyguards sticks a dagger in between his ribs in front of everybody at a wedding ceremony. It was a celebration of some kind. Boom, dad dead. Well, dad was preparing an invasion against the Persian Empire when he died. He was already making preparations for this, right? Meaning they had already formed a beachhead over in Persia. They were already stocking up men and supplies, preparing for an invasion, and they had this really, really awesome, powerful army. Along comes his son, Alexander, Alexander the Great. Now, because it was Macedonia, Alexander had to murder quite a few people to make sure his position of power was safe. There was all kinds of, they're killing family members, you name it. Alexander gets his position safe. Now, why does Alexander invade Persia? Because, pause for a moment, pause. Think about your life. Let's say you're a Macedonian farmer who's also a soldier. Think about what it's like the day the call comes. Obviously, it would have to come on horseback probably or by foot. Someone brings you something, a summons, and says, hey, Jesse, here's your papers. Show up a week from now at this location. Bring your shield, bring your armor, bring your spear, bring your sword. We're going to war. I have to go back into my hut, whatever I happen to be living in at the time, and I have to gather my wife and children around me, and I have to explain to them that dad is leaving. He's going off to war. And this isn't the era of six-month deployments. Not that that's a short amount of time, but to just get where I'm going to go to war will take 2-3 months by the time we form up, by the time we get on boats. I will then ship over to a different country. After I ship to a different country, I will find myself one day standing on a battlefield, and the Persian army is across from me. It's roasting hot. I'm in my armor. And the Persian army not only has men with long shields and swords who are about to murder me, they have armored war elephants. And the elephants, when they're given the command, they will charge across the battlefield and try to stomp me to death. And there's a good chance that day I'm going to die and not well. There's a chance I end that day dying with a sword hanging out of my guts on the battlefield. This is the reality. This is what this happened to human beings. That's why I'm being so graphic about it. There's a chance I die that day underneath an elephant's foot, smashing me to death. Blood screaming. There's a chance. Now, that guy, expand that. 10,000, 20,000 Greeks, 50,000 Greeks, they will die on this conquest. They can die, I should say, on this conquest. And Alexander not only attacked Persia, conquered Persia, his men are dying the whole time. Once he was done attacking Persia, Alexander just kept going. Afghanistan, India, to the farthest reaches of the world at that time, Alexander was marching me. Remember, I kissed my wife goodbye. My kids, they're practically grown now. Look, this is not the era of Zoom calls and text messages. I don't know what my son looks like anymore. I don't know if he's alive. I'm not sending an email. I'm gone. There's no pictures. I'm gone. And men like me, Jesse the farmer, are living this life, dying, wounded, diseased. In Alexander's mind, how do you justify that? You ever thought about that? We love Alexander the Great. I love Alexander the Great. What dude doesn't love Alexander the Great? And some ladies too. I'm an admirer. I'm a fan. The amazing general. Tactically, he was amazing. But if you're Alexander and you're looking out at 50,000 farmers named Jesse, and you know their wives, their kids are gone, and you know you're about to march them into battle in India tomorrow, and they may all die, or at least 10,000 of them may die, how do you, in your mind, justify that? How is that okay to march off on a conquest as the leader of an army and get people killed so that one day that wife and children I left behind on my Greek farm, they get whatever qualified as a letter back then saying, ah, dad's gone. He died in India somewhere. Best of luck to you. How do you justify that? What is that mentality? I don't know exactly. I can't, because I'm not that way. I don't know what that exact mentality is, but I do know there is a mentality that runs through some human beings. They feel as if whatever they desire, whatever cause they're invested in, it is simply worth the death of however many people it takes. And they view themselves as being so above you, so important. They are unique, you see. You're nothing. I'm nothing. We're just peasants. We're just whatever we are. We're just kind of in the way. But they have such a higher calling that, maybe you'll have to die for it. Sorry. Look, maybe you and your whole family have to die for it. These people don't view themselves as being one of us. It's one of the great challenges these people face in the political realm, is when they try to take a minute or two and pretend to be one of us. That's why it always comes off as so cringeworthy. That's why we laugh to this day about Hillary Clinton sitting with some black ladies talking about the hot sauce she keeps in her purse. It's such an obvious lie, but they don't even know how to pretend to be a normal person. Did that explain it? Chris, did that help explain it any better? They see themselves as being above all of us, and their cause is bigger than you, and everything they want is bigger than you, and everything you care about. And if you have to die, then you have to die. For the king and queen, of course. That's what I mean by how they see themselves. All right, now let's talk about where we are, Trump going to prison, and more. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Okay, so I have what I think might be good news. I'm not trying to give you false hope here, but the story's been going around for about 48 hours now that Trump is going to be sentenced on September 18th for his convictions in New York. Remember, we live in the Soviet Union now, and they went ahead and convicted Donald Trump of 37 felonies, all of which are ridiculous. They convicted him of 37 felonies as he's running for president. So that's where we are as a country. And his sentencing got postponed because, you remember, the Supreme Court ruled that he's immune from some things, not everything. There was that. Now you have this filthy communist judge who did everything to rig the trial. Now this judge, Judge Mershon, Juan Mershon is his name, now he gets to sentence Trump, and people are saying he might go to prison. A lot of people are saying Trump is going to get sentenced to prison. I have some potential good news when it comes to that. One, if they send him to prison, that might win him the election. Trump's poll numbers, remember Trump first started getting arrested in the primary? And that Trump DeSantis primary, it had gotten within 10, 11 points. It was narrowing. I don't know that DeSantis ever could have won that and beaten a guy like Trump, but it was certainly narrowing. And Donald Trump started getting arrested, and boom, poll numbers exploded. It was never close after that. It was 20, 30 points. Just blew his doors off after that. So that didn't work. And then after the primary was over, they kept arresting him and kept trying him, and boom, poll numbers up. And then they tried to kill him. And boom, poll numbers went up again. Every time they try these dirty, underhanded things, it helps his poll numbers. So one, if that happens, if he goes to prison on September 18th, obviously I don't want Donald Trump to have to go to Rikers Island and eat that horrible food. It might help his election chances, to be honest with you. But if you're one of these people who's frantic about the possibility of that, now this gets complicated legally, so I'm not going to nerd you out and bore you with a bunch of details. But the judge, a couple days before that, essentially has to render an opinion about the Supreme Court's opinion on Trump's immunity. I'm just going to fast forward through all the legal habeas corpus legal crap that just gets totally nerdy and horrible, and I'll say, there's not a guarantee that Donald Trump is going to be sentenced at all on September 18th. That's one. Two, remember, they have options. It can be probation. It can be house arrest. It can be jail. They can send him to prison. I don't know that any of this in the end is going to be bad for Trump electorally. The communists did what they often do. It's one of their main weaknesses. Their strength is also their weakness. They never slow down. They never back off. They are relentlessly pursuing offense, destruction, consuming offense, destruction at all times. They're always marching forward like the demonic horde they are. Now, in the end, it proves to be a big benefit to them because the ball always moves left. The ratchet always moves left because they don't play defense like weenie loser Republicans do all the time. They're busy trying to win. However, they do run the risk, and they do this all the time, of overplaying their hand. They cannot help themselves. They cannot control themselves. Because they're demonic weirdo freaks, they continue to march forward no matter what. Lock him up, kill him, at all times moving forward. And eventually what it does is it freaks out normal people. Look, the commies overplayed their hand big time when it came to the tranny stuff. That they couldn't help themselves. They went so far with it that now normal people, normies, they turn on the television set and they see some dude with 17-inch biceps beating the living crap out of some women on the rugby field. And even normal people look around and say, I don't know. That's kind of too far. The tranny stuff is one of the only times I've ever seen the demons have to play a little bit of defense on something, because there's no defense for chopping off a child's penis. They will deny it's happening. They'll try to pass the blame. Because when you actually nail down on the things they're doing, they couldn't stop themselves. They got all wrapped up in it, and they took it too far and made themselves the party of freaks. So there's that. Now, let's get on and talk about some other stuff. You know what? Let's let the bar eat. DC frontman, why is Kamala talking about things she will do on day one? She's part of the current administration. Why isn't she running on what she's fixing now? Her name is Rachel. Okay, we all know the game that's being played here. Why is Dome running against herself in her own policies? It's not complicated at all. They're doing exactly what I said they were going to do when I told you they were about to dump Joe Biden. They took all the things that are unpopular, all the inflation stuff, the border stuff, and they dropped it all like a hot potato in Joe Biden's lap. Here, Joe! What did that do? Well, you drop all the problems on Joe, ship him out the back door. Dome acts like she's an outsider who's just about to get there and get things done. Is that stuff effective? Well, on certain people it is. In fact, speaking of those certain people, Bridget Fetasy is going to join me next. She wrote an article about the white woman savior complex. We'll talk about that. And after I'm done with Bridget, I'm going to play you some audio about the people who might believe this stuff. Hang on.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. The week is almost over. We are so close. I can almost taste it.
So let's focus on the plague, the epidemic America has right now. Did you know we have a plague? And no, it's not COVID. It's not the bubonic plague. It's liberal white women. Liberal white women are the beating heart of communism in Western society. And my friend, comedian, writer, Bridget Fetisee wrote a great piece I want you to go read for The Spectator. The title is The Power of the White Woman Savior Complex. Gosh, what a title. Bridget, what are you talking about?
Oh, in this house, we call her Kamala, first of all, Jesse. in this house, we believe. I was just writing about how it's been kind of wild watching the installation of this savior figure. And there were all those, you know, crazy cries for help Zoom calls of the white women for Kamala, the white dudes for Kamala, which is the same thing, really. And watching just how everybody has this need to kind of lift up the minority people who can't help themselves and show them the way. It's like very wild and bananas to me.
Bridget, I've tried to unpack this as best I can. And obviously, you know, I feel like sometimes I get it right, but sometimes I'll run into one who just completely confuses me. What do you think this savior complex is? Is this a childless thing, so the, you know, so the black population becomes their de facto children? Is it something like that?
It's interesting. I think there are different factions of it too, because I was just thinking about this before we got on the phone. You know, there are different, there's like the childless kind of faction of the white woman savior complex. There's also the kind of limousine liberal country club white savior, which they all kind of work in conjunction with one another, but there are different aspects of the same thing. I do think a lot of it is just plain old fashioned ego. And it's wrapped up in seeming like these virtuous people who get to say, what's more seductive, Jesse, than somebody saying, you need to save the world? That's what they were literally saying on these Zooms. Like, all right, white women, we need to save the world. And I also have a theory, especially with this kind of childless faction, that the white liberal never really outgrew that need to be cool. They just are so desperate to be perceived as cool. And this is a way to kind of signal that they're cool somehow and in the know and, you know, like wearing their kicks and hip to the cause or whatever they, I've tried to unpack it too, but I think there's a lot of things at work. I think with the country club limousine liberals, there's a lot of guilt, and Batya Ungar Sargon has done a great job of kind of unpacking that aspect of, well, we feel guilty about all of our actual financial privilege, and so we're going to kind of pretend to help people with the race stuff.
Yeah, the survivors, almost survivor's guilt type thing, as you're sipping on champagne in the country club while the other people starve. I can see that. Again, we're speaking with Bridget Phetasy, author, comedian. She wrote a great piece about the power of the white woman savior complex. I'm going to go to something you kind of touched on a little bit about the social acceptance or social status aspect of it. This lady I know used to be this raging commie, and now she's hardcore righty, but used to be this raging commie. And we were having a conversation one day, and she said, Jesse, I used to do the things I would do politically for the express purpose of, I knew I was going to get to brag about those things at a party. She was from California, which I know you're familiar with. I knew I was going to get to brag about those things at a party on a Saturday night. And it was like a resume enhancer. I knew I could walk in there and say, I marched so I could slaughter the unborn. And she knew that that would help her in social settings.
Yeah. I actually have been in cloaked in normies on visiting family and home back east in New England. And there have been some wild parties, dinner parties, where people feel completely comfortable saying insane, deranged things like, oh, thank God, you know, too bad he didn't turn his head, ha, 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 in public. Like, this is absolutely crazy to me, but it's something that they get applauded for by their peers. And you're right, it is this aspect of kind of, first of all, showing where you stand and also trying to get that like social status that everybody's craving. But it really, like, you think you're a good person, and you're tacitly implying or openly wishing for someone's death is bananas to me. But this is very common. It's common to kind of think of yourself as the good guy. And I think you see a lot of this stuff with these like white folks for Kamala, which kind of comes across to me as very racist and minimizing and would be offensive to me.
Yeah, the way they speak about, you know, the poor, stupid minority certainly can't help himself. So that's why I'm here to step in and help out. It really is, at its core, it really is the most racist thing in the world. In fact, both parties pretty much do this. When it comes to black people, both parties act like the only black outreach you need is springing people from prison early. So what does that say?
Yeah, there is something that I've been talking to a lot of my friends about, and I was saying when I was on Glenn Beck, like, in order to believe that you can help lift up these minorities, you have to believe you're better than them. There is like a weird it's kind of like a modern left-wing white supremacy where you have to start from the premise that you are above in order to even be able to espouse the stuff you're saying with any kind of seriousness.
I'm going to play something for you, Bridget. I played it for everyone earlier in the show, but I'm going to play something for you. And it was, just listen.
Today, we're trying to find out from the attendees what Kamala Harris's greatest accomplishment has been as VP.
Honestly, I'm not too into politics. I'm just here for the vibe.
Becoming the first female vice president.
Just becoming the VP is the best accomplishment?
Yeah, absolutely.
Being a good person.
Being a good person?
Yeah.
Bridget, can you explain to me why nobody has anything concrete to vote on the left? How can that possibly be? Is all logic just gone?
Because it's the absence of something. Kamala could come out with all of Trump's policies, and they would still vote. It's actually absence of even voting about policy, I feel like, on the left now. It is literally just not Trump. It is anyone but Trump. The hatred for him is so deep. They were willing to vote for somebody who is pretty much half dead. So this is like a step up. They're just excited that somebody's alive that they can get behind. It doesn't seem to matter, but it's truly wild, because I do believe that she could come out and like she did with the tipping, and just come out and start saying all of the things that maybe the Trump wants to do, and they would still vote for her just because it's not him.
Yeah, well, I mean, in her defense, no one knows more about tips than Kamala. Bridget Fettes, see her, go read her stuff. It's at The Spectator. Bridget, you are the best. Come back soon. I appreciate it. It comes back to a lot of what we've discussed many times on the show about how good the communists are at creating symbols, idols. Idols they'll demand you worship, George Floyd, the vaccine, and idols they'll demand you throw tomatoes at. They have created, through relentless propaganda and hive mind thinking, they have created this boogeyman antichrist in Trump. What Bridget just said about a cocktail party full of Democrats laughing and joking about Donald Trump getting his head blown off, that's not at all the only time I've heard that. I've had several friends who have ended up at a Democrat party in a big city, LA, New York, and that's just how they talk to each other. God, jeez. All right. Anyway, we have a bunch more show. I just wanted you to hear about that. I thought the whole thing was fascinating and the different aspects of it. You know what else is fascinating to me? It's fascinating to me how many people haven't made the switch to Pure Talk. Just because it makes no sense. If you tell me that you buy Nike clothes or you still go to Disney movies, all right, I don't support it. I don't agree, but I can't crush you for it. A lot of those things are just kind of daily life things. Maybe Nike fit your feet the best, like whatever it may be. Why in the world haven't you switched your cell phone to Pure Talk? You don't sacrifice service. They're on the same 5G network. You pay like half. I pay half of what I used to pay. You support a company who shares your values. You keep your phone. You keep your phone number if you want, or you can change those things. Why haven't you switched? It's 10 minutes on the phone. You have 10 minutes right now. Pick up your phone. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you an extra 50% off your first month. #250, say Jesse Kelly.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Remember, you can email the show your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for tomorrow. Email those into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Chris, what was that? That music sucked. That was Pink Floyd? No. Yeah, there were a lot of drugs. There were. I'm such a huge Pink Floyd fan. That hurt my ear. Why? I feel like you do this on purpose, Chris. Remember when you played that Metallica cut a little while ago where Metallica sounded like some terrible cover band you'd see in a bar in a college town on Friday night? Do you do this on purpose? Do you have something against good bands? Be honest right now. Look, Chris, you don't always have to put people in bad light. All right. You don't always have to put people in bad light. We could put people in good light, right? Speaking of putting people in bad light, You remember how the Secret Service almost let Trump get his head blown off about a month ago? And I just want to make sure I remind everyone where we're at here. Right after the Supreme Court ruled that Trump had immunity, and right before Trump went to the Republican convention to officially accept the nomination, in that little window in between immunity happened and the nomination happened, that happened to be the exact same window where Donald Trump, if he doesn't turn his head at the exact moment, gets his brains blown all over the stage on live television. The timing of that is crazy, wouldn't you agree? And remember the Secret Service failures from that day. You do remember those failures, right? Failures is me being so unbelievably kind, I might point out. Oh, they lost all the radio communications from that day. They ignored all the warnings from local law enforcement about that roof. They ignored all the warnings that there was a young man with a freaking rangefinder acting suspiciously. We now have a picture I saw today of the guy just flat out walking around with the AR-15. Secret Service allegedly was there protecting Trump. But that, look, hey, that's the bad news. That's the bad news. It's not all bad news. The good news is after that completely embarrassing disaster that almost got Trump killed and that made the Secret Service look really bad, the good news is they've locked things down and they've made some changes.
So this coming from Real Clear Politics reporting that a female Secret Service agent abandoned her post in North Carolina to breastfeed her baby during Trump's visit yesterday to the Tar Heel State. The report says about 5 minutes before Trump's motorcade arrived, the site agent who manages security for the entire event did a final sweep of the location.
And while walking the route, the site agent reportedly found the Secret Service special agent in question breastfeeding with two other family members present in a room that's supposed to be set aside for official business, like an emergency involving the president. The report says the special agent did not have permission to leave her post and gave no warning prior to the event that she needed personal time. Working Secret Service agents are prohibited from bringing children, or any family members for that matter, on a protective assignment.
I said it before, and I will say it again, and I mean it. I understand that Donald Trump, for legal reasons, has to have someone from the Secret Service on his security detail. You know, Secret Service agents have authority to do things private security won't have. But Donald Trump really needs to hire exclusively his own security. Secret Service can no longer be trusted to protect Donald Trump. And I don't know the reasons why. I don't know whether it's negligence. I don't know whether it's nefarious. I don't know. We'll probably never know, given the system of lies we currently live in. But this is not an organization that is prepared to protect the man a lot of people seem to want dead. And if you think this kind of rhetoric is going to tone down, remember, we're almost to election day.
You may have heard about the MAGA Republican Project 2025 plan. They want to repeal Medicare's power to negotiate drug prices. Let Big Pharma back to charge them whatever they want. Let me tell you what our Project 2025 is. Beat the hell out of them.
We have 82 days. 82 days where Donald Trump will have to spend pretty much every one of those days out in public mingling with people. You know, Trump, how he loves that retail politics stuff where he goes into a pizza shop and buys pizzas for everyone. He loves to go to the big rallies, thousands of people there. We have 82 days of Donald Trump doing public events, and it will be 82 days of the communists whipping their demonic base up into a frenzy, convincing them that Donald Trump is the end of all humanity if he gets elected. And the only people preventing the demons from murdering Donald Trump are, well, they're these people.
So this coming from Real Clear Politics reporting that a female Secret Service agent abandoned her post in North Carolina to breastfeed her baby.
I don't know exactly what's happening at the Secret Service, and frankly, I don't care. I am very concerned about my country. I'm concerned about the powder keg we've become. I'm concerned about stopping these evil demons. And look, I know money doesn't grow on trees, and it's really easy for me, Jesse Kelly, to sit here and spend other people's money. Donald Trump needs to hire and be protected by private security almost exclusively. If you have to have a couple Secret Service agents on there to liaise with you and local law enforcement, things like that, totally get that. For Donald Trump to be exclusively protected by Secret Service agents at this point in time is insane. I'm afraid for the man's life. So there it is. I'm very afraid for his life. I am worried that someone is going to kill Donald Trump. And it's obvious the people who are supposed to protect him can't do it. I'm worried. 82 days. Keep him in your prayers. We have an hour. We'll get to some other things next.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.